joining us right now, like he does every Monday. He's the Lord of the Afternoons in television and radio. Brought to us by the bags. They're dumped. They're in a bag. Get yours today. Home Depot and Lowe's. Details at thebagster.com. He's, of course, the great Mikey Miss. Good morning, Michael.
Yeah, what's up, brothers? What's going on?
What's up, buddy?
Francesco.
How about Francesco?
You Italians are all so happy today.
Oh, maybe that's it. There's like three people celebrated in Rome.
Exactly.
All right, they don't need no, who need no soccer? No soccer for you. We got Francesco.
Yeah, well, we had to take something out of that.
Can I tell you, I was riveted watching that.
Yeah, that was a great final round.
Oh,
yeah, it was a great final. And Tiger gets in the lead.
Yeah, everybody's, it was awesome.
All, yeah, everybody's ready to pound me because I'm on one record saying he's never going to win another major. And he got close.
Yeah, but it also showed you, I mean, on that double bogey, you know, yeah, it's still not him.
No, he had the lead and he can cash the deal. And I just think, you know, when you're older and you get the back fusion surgery, it's really impossible to play at that level he used to play at. So I just don't see it. You know, a lot of people hope he does. I never got the Tiger thing, to be honest with you. I mean, I can acknowledge he's the greatest golfer ever. But his demeanor is so removed and detached.
Oh, my God, I said the same thing. He's not even just detached. He's downright a J.O.
Yeah, he is. And people still love him, which is real curious to me.
Yeah. I said the same thing to Bob because Bob's a big Tiger guy.
Well, I love watching him golf.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love watching him golf. The person, like we talked about earlier, yeah, that's a turnoff. But when he's dominant, I love watching him golf.
Well, that's 10 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, it's over now, isn't it?
I think that's interesting. I think the comeback part of it is pretty interesting.
Yeah, but see, so when's he going to win? When he gets older and like more weary? That's what I'm saying. I think he's reached the plateau.
Only thing is, though, do you think this propels him?
No, I don't. I only think he gets older.
Mm, wow. Yeah.
You know, because the guys don't win in their 40s. They really don't.
You know,
he's in his 40s now. He's not 42. Tiger.
Yeah.
But,
interesting what he said, that he thought the Open, the British Open, gave him his best chance because of Lynx Golf. He thought Lynx Golf gave him his best chance because he can whack it and get it there.
Spray.
Yeah,
well, he was thinking he didn't have to hit driver, and he didn't for most of the tournament. But he only hit 5 of 16 fairways in the final round. And he was like he went double bogey after he had the lead.
Yeah.
So like that's an indication. Like, you know, the old Tiger grabs that moment and seizes it. And I just don't think physically he's capable of it.
Yeah, you're probably right. No, you're probably right on that. All right, let me ask you a question because I'm just curious. I heard on the show on Friday, B. West was, you guys were doing the top five Eagle quarterbacks.
Yes, yeah.
And Brian Westbrook, who we all love, says, well, it's five. You know, five's number one, and, you know, nobody's close, and the whole thing. And you guys were doing it out of what, like accomplishments?
We were doing it in relation to whether Foles was on the top five.
Right, and it was like, where was Carson at? Because I didn't hear Carson.
Carson didn't make the top five yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't. Yeah, no, it's based
on, I would say no.
The way I do it is track record and, you know, what you've accomplished. I mean, he's going to be, obviously, in the top two when all is said and done, and probably be at the top, but the body of work isn't quite there yet, so.
Yeah, but let's say this. Like, I just want to know skill set and what someone, when I look at a quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, tell me what Carson Wentz can't do.
No,
like,
skill set, he's number one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. He does more than McNabb does because he was able to, you know, he can touch pass it, and McNabb really struggled with that.
Yeah, yeah.
So skill set, I agree with you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad because I was curious because I get the sense that Brian doesn't really respect Wentz as much. Or
I think he does, but he's got loyalty to five. You know that. I mean, that was his quarterback. If I was his quarterback, so
it's my quarterback.
Yeah, well, you can ask other guys on that team; they're not gonna have the same loyalty as B. West does.
B. West is a very loyal guy.
I know he is.
You know, he's got loyalty to Shady too.
Yeah, no, I know he is. I respect that about him. He's a great dude.
Yeah,
but I was just curious because I sense apprehension in giving it up to Wentz.
I love you, man.
And it's just so interesting to me. And even so, when you bring up Dak Prescott, he reluctantly says that, well, right now Carson is better than Dak Prescott. But it took a lot because he and I had that little debate.
Yeah. I can see. But you're overly sensitive to Wentz, and he's overly sensitive to five. I think it's funny.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I'm asking the question.
No, I agree with you.
I mean, seriously, I didn't see the competent quarterback play in my entire life, so I finally find one. Forgive me for being a little bit over exuberant on the guy.
How many
competent quarterbacks have you seen in your life, Mike?
I understand it. I agree with you. I'm just trying to differentiate between Ryan's opinion and yours.
Yeah. Well, again, that's just from someone living in Philadelphia, never having seen competent quarterback play.
You're right.
You know.
Now, neither of us are partial to five.
Right.
Give you that.
It's a shame because, to me, the most gifted quarterback I ever saw was Randall.
Yes.
And had he had any kind of coaching, maybe he would be the best quarterback in history.
But I still had to put five at number one as far as all-time
accomplishments. Yes, I agree.
Yeah. So that's what we were doing.
I agree with that. Anyway.
And Foles, it doesn't make my top five.
Here's the thing about Foles. I don't understand. How is he in this top five when he's had, what, the 27-2 you're counting as a part of the body work?
I think the way it shook out from people, and Natalie had an opinion on this, it's like the Super Bowl gives you, if you're accumulating points, for every 10,000 yards you throw, you get a point. The Super Bowl meant, 25,000 points.
Yeah,
right?
Super Bowl MVP goes up pretty high.
That puts you, and it's a decent argument. It's a great boardroom argument.
Yeah, it is. I'm anti that.
I know you are.
I'm anti that.
I probably would have to put him on top. I had Sonny Jurgensen at top five, but his evil accomplishments weren't great. So I could probably be talked into having Foles five.
Yeah, I could see Foles because you had Jaws, right? Jaws has to.
Yeah, I had Jaws. I had McNabb, Randall.
Shame. Jaws had an offensive line.
And I put Van Brocklin in there because he won.
Yeah.
So I guess if he won, then Foles. Foles didn't play the whole season, and that holds him back a little bit. But I get the people hero worship in Foles because it's a Super Bowl thing and elevating him up.
Now we were having a little bit of a debate, not much of a debate, but the idea that Foles is number one, having eclipsed Tom Brady, is that the power of Eagle fans?
Yes.
Or is suddenly Foles, as Eitan believes, a cult hero across America?
No, it's every Eagle fan buying a jersey. That's what that is.
Eitan?
Yeah, how many Foles jerseys you've seen around town recently, Mike?
I see a lot of them.
No, not as many. Not 65 million you don't see. Come on.
Every Eagle fan has one in their closet now.
Nope. I disagree with that notion.
Come on, don't tell me he's national.
He is national. He's got a great storyline. He had a book tour.
National.
He was on every national television show from Fox and Friends to John and Friends.
Yes.
And he relates to middle America. Come on. Think about that, Mike. He's second level. He relates to middle America, the conservative football fan.
No.
It's easy just to say no, but again, how many Foles jerseys? I'll walk around town with a camera and try to identify Foles jerseys.
Right. Listen.
Maybe they're not wearing them. Maybe they preserved them.
Yeah.
Like strawberry jam?
Yeah, exactly. you don't ruin it by wearing
it. Get out of here.
No, and Bro nails it. And Mike is right. Bro said it's a forever jersey. And it's only because he was the quarterback in the Super Bowl.
You're good for life with a full Super Bowl jersey. You're set for life.
Correct.
And you buy him now because you know he's not going to be here after this year. So you buy him with the patch on him.
Yes. It's a Super Bowl. It's a keepsake. He's not suddenly some cult hero.
Absolutely.
No.
To the point
outside of Philadelphia.
People are buying Foles jerseys for their dogs in Minnesota.
Mike, do they still hate us? I still sense.
Minnesota?
I still sense, no, the whole world hating Eagle fans.
No.
I sense it, dude. They're all yeah, brother. They all hate us still. I was listening to like some national Scooby Doo station on on Sirius, and they were just ripping Eagles and Eagle fans. Yeah, and it just dawned on me how much they still hate us.
Yeah, I didn't notice that, but if you notice that, I laugh at that kind of stuff anymore. I just, screw them.
You're above it.
I am. Like, people come up to me, hey, Cowherd said that. Screw Cowherd. Yeah. I don't care what these people say anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I get you. Listen, I get you. I find it interesting, though, that I think they hate us even more. I think
because of the win.
Yes.
They used to be able to make fun of us.
Yes.
For not winning. That was the hate. And now it's like, what? Wait, they won? Okay, well, let's flip around the hate. And then still hate them because they won.
Right. And they hate us even more now that we talk.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, I see it. Mikey, are the Phils a playoff team right now?
Well, I'll tell you what, they're hanging in there and they're pitching. Like Velasquez is, coming around now. I didn't believe in him for a while. I still don't believe in Pivetta, but Velasquez looked really good. And to have no hitters carrying into the through five. I was surprised he took him out yesterday with that pitch count.
Because Freddie Galvez is a six hole hitter in San Diego.
I get that, but he's done it against a couple other teams too. So Altair. I'm watching Altair in a game yesterday. He's got two cookie fastballs that he misses. Yeah. The bases loaded. I'm going, what is he still doing up here? It's because they don't have anybody to replace him down there. It's hard to believe.
Look at your bench.
Well, I'm saying that AAA outfielder, there's no AAA outfielder that can come up and take. That kid's been suffering for the last 2 months. He needed to go back to the AAA a month ago.
They need to go. Well, you're right. They need to get like at the deadline, there's going to be all those high-priced, fat salary guys people just want to get rid of. They need to go get like Bautista get cut. Go get a Bautista, maybe hit a home run off the bench. You got nothing off the bench.
No, I agree.
And you need.
I agree,
like
despite that, they're hanging in there, which means this could be one of those years where you say there's no way, and then all of a sudden it's way.
All right, so you still have hope. I still don't believe him.
They've convinced me they're hanging in there in the first place area, and I'm going, well, why can't they win a division? Like, who's going to win their division?
Well, I mean, I still think the Nationals are the best team, and they got a couple guys healthy.
I think there's been a pin in their balloon. They just don't have it.
Very well, they could. I hope you're right. I get frustrated by watching their at-bats. This lineup is just not a thing.
I get you, but explain to me how they're up at the top.
Yeah, Aaron Nola and Sir Anthony Dominguez is why.
Yeah, but they got to have more than that. So like,
no, that's why
pitching has been
their run differential is like eight.
I understand that, but they're winning games.
Yeah, they win one run games.
Well, that's fine. See, they win a lot of one run games. It tells you a little something that maybe the season is flowing a certain way.
Yeah, I don't believe it. I believe that the one run games equal at the end of the
I agree with you. They need a bat. They need to get one, and I think they're going to. I think they're determined to get a pitcher and a bat. So
now we're talking. Like, they just need to.
You get a pitcher and a bat, then
I'm starting to believe. But I'm not believing yet on this. In this, the way this is.
All right, I believe.
Good. I'm glad you do. You're the whole thing.
Yeah, I believe.
Is Jake not fake?
He's kind of fake, but he's I guess he's giving him enough. I can't figure it out.
Who's their number two starter in the playoff?
The top.
Vinny.
Well, he could emerge.
He's his game too.
It's possible he could emerge, but they wouldn't disrespect Jake like that.
Fake Jake goes in game two.
Yeah,
all right.
I think fake Jake goes in game. Your boy in town tonight, huh?
Maddie?
Yeah.
Standing ovation for him, Mike?
Of course.
Uh-huh. You have a problem with that or no?
Will he play tonight?
Well, whatever. He'll pinch hit him or something.
He doesn't start.
Well, they might start him against the right-hander. Throw him a bone.
Yeah, probably Wednesday, right? Probably midweek. I don't know who's going. Phil's on the lefties.
Mr. F-Bomb meets F-Lim.
Yeah. But there you go.
You and Eitan see this very similarly.
About what, Chase Utley?
Yeah, you guys are not Chase fans.
No, I actually
think Chase is overloved.
The one, I think he is a little overloved, but I have to admit that I had never seen a better Phillies hitter ever. When he had that run, especially 2006, I marveled at the guy, the way he could generate bat speed within like a 3-foot swing.
Yeah.
He's just so odd that his personality I guess you could get away with it on a team like that had a lot of personality.
Yeah.
And he could just play. So, I mean, he's a great player, no question.
Mike, you're Mr. Baseball, and this is a serious question. Do you think he's one of the most intelligent baseball players you've seen over the last 30 years?
What marks intelligence? Like faking his throw to first base?
Well, that.
Throwing the guy out?
Yeah, taking pitches.
Playing the game the right way,
getting hit. Yeah, everything. His stealing base percentage is the highest in baseball history with a minimum of 100.
Actually, getting hit on purpose and putting your leg in front of second base, I thought was Bush, to be honest with you. So I go so far on that. I think he did a lot of dirty stuff that was outside the lines of the game.
All right, brother. Great stuff as always, Mikey Miss. On the Comcast Business Hotline.